This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2103. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded September 9th, Afghanistan, Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, East Turkestan, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Guinea, Japan, Korea North and South, Macedonia North, Mauritius, North America, Portugal, UK, USA, Beacon of Hate, Havana Syndrome, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. First, some breaking news about new times for World of Radio on WRMI and new frequency. Thanks to Jeff White, first noticed by our regular monitor Richard Lemke in Alberta, and then I checked the schedule grids and found all of the changes. UT Friday at 0330 on 5985. That's the first time I think we've been on this frequency, aimed southwest to Central America. And it'll be only the second broadcast of the week after the first one. We always recommend you try to catch Thursday evening, UT Friday at 0130 on 5850 or 7780. Then UT Sunday at midnight 30 on 7730. That's aimed west-northwest, in addition to the same frequency where we've already been for quite a while, 24 hours later on UT Monday. But at that time, there are two additional frequencies, UT Monday midnight 30 on 9395 to the north-northwest and 9455 to the west-northwest. And those same two 9 MHz frequencies show up again, UT Thursday at midnight 30. Of course, you may find our complete schedule for all broadcasts on all stations via worldofradio.com. Furthermore, early September updates for our DX, SWL, and media programs listing, and Alan Rowe's World of Radio hit list, web links to stations and programs. As we've been reporting, the new Afghanistan International TV audio has been heard on 7600. But Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria says they were testing an adjacent frequency, 7590, on September 3rd, via the transmitter site in Armenia, between 0630 and 1400. Fairly good reception via remote in Russia. That was September 3rd. However, at 1400, the same frequency carries North Korea Reform Radio, a different transmitter site involved for that one, Uzbekistan. After missing almost a month, LRA 36 Antarctica was heard again on Saturday, September 4th. 15475.98, reduced carrier upper sideband via remotes in Brazil. Tune in at 1505 and it lasted all the way until it cut off at 1907 UT. Manuel Mendez had explained that he heard from the station that they would be on the air that date, starting at 1400, having fixed the fault they had in their antenna. However, they were gone again on Wednesday, September 8th, when they should have appeared during the same time period. Reports of Radio 4KZ in Queensland, Australia, low power on 5055. Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil had a tentative log September 5th at 0926 with some talk and music. Ron Howard in California tuned it the next day, September 6th, until the transmitter went off at 45 seconds past 10:01 UT, apparently controlled by a timer. Back on September 3rd, they went off at exactly 10:02. That is, cutting off 5 seconds earlier from one day to the next. Strange to hear a multi-pip time signal on the quarter hour, but I did, September 2nd at 06:45 on 4885 from Rádio Clube do Pará in Brazil. That apparently is characteristic of the network. It relays a lot. Rádio Bandeirantes. IDs for that followed. My local longwave beacon in Enid on 341 kHz, EI, is still off the air, so there was no interference at all to 340, where I was hearing YY and a dash. That is, from Montjoly, Quebec, 2.76 megameters away, far beyond Quebec City, on the Gaspé. That was September 4th at 06:48, and this week I've heard a number of other Canadians, which generally run higher power than American beacons. such as on 351-YKQ and a dash from Fort Rupert or Waskaganish, Quebec, which is at the southern end of James Bay. The reactivated Canadian comedy station CFVP in Calgary seems to be getting out better on 6030. And you wonder if they're still only 100 watts. We had a report of it last week from Wisconsin, and now I myself have heard it in Oklahoma, such as September 8th at 0625. It's pretty obvious that it's CFVP if you hear Canadian ads and comedy. And also on September 7th at 0631. There is some residual Cuban jamming on the frequency, but it manages to overcome it. Also reported by Rodney Johnson in Minnesota, September 6th at 0557, September 8th at 0554. You may notice that all these times are within an hour of 0600. Last week I mentioned that Trenton Military CHR flight weather from Ontario had been missing from its day frequency 15034 USB. But now it's also missing from its night frequency, whenever I've checked, 6754 USB. Who knows if it's done for good or will eventually come back. Filed under East Turkestan, land of imperialist Chaikom genocide against Uyghurs and other Muslims, news about China Radio International, which has transmitter sites there as well as elsewhere. The high-power medium-wave transmitters in Xinjiang, as they call it, on 1323 and 1521, appear to be off the air. 1521 had been carrying the CRI Russian service at midnight to 02 UT and 11 to 20, while 1323 with English to South Asia between 15 and 18. In the British DX Club, it's reported both have been unheard recently and may have been off the air for several months. Following up last week's item that China Radio International was replacing its German service with music like they have already for Portuguese and some other languages, Wolfgang Büschel has been checking many of those and reports. Discontinuation of various CRI services replaced by endless Chinese national music-only programs on September 1st to 5th in these languages: Albanian, Amoy, Bengali, Bulgarian, Cantonese, Chaozhou, Croatian, Czech, Filipino, Hakka, Italian, Khmer, Korean partly, Polish, Portuguese, Romanian. In fact, I happen to hear some nice low-key strumming of Chinese music in the so-called Hakka service, September 8th from 1645 until 1657 on 9770. Back to Wolfgang Büschel as of September 5th, who noted the following foreign service programs were still going from CRI in Chinese, of course, Mandarin: English, Esperanto, French, Arabic, Russian, Spanish, partly in Filipino, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Japanese, Khmer, Lao, Malay, Mongolian, Nepalese, Pashto, Persian, Serbian, Sinhalese, Swahili, Tamil, Thai, Turkish, Urdu, and Vietnamese. Note that Serbian previously had been replaced by some music and maybe also Hungarian, but not now. Checking out the clandestine, or is it a target broadcast for Eritrea, or is it Ethiopia? Baito Yaku, previously reported on 11760, Wednesdays and Saturdays, between 1630 and 1700 via France. Kai Ludwig says it is still not being heard in September, and in fact Ivo Ivanov reported it had been inactive since July 7th. Here's an obscure station in Ethiopia, reported by Lionel Klein in Kent, British DX Club. On the 10th of August, on 5940 at 1853, in Somali, Radio Diganka Somalida, via the site Jijiga. That's according to listings in the Aoki NDXC roster, scheduled on 5940 daily from 04 to 06, 13 to 15, and 18 to 20. Had several reports about this about a year ago, but I think it was decided that it was a mistaken ID for the off-frequency Brazilian instead. The World Radio TV Handbook had it as inactive as of a year ago, as Ethiopian Somali Regional State Radio, a government station, the same times except running until 2100. So the question is it really active now? An even more confusing situation is on 7110, where the European intruder watchers among the hams have heard a broadcast station, such as Saturday the 5th at 1821 with two songs identified as by Ethiopian performers, until it went off at 1831, says Richard Lamont in the UK. However, on the same date, Michael Fertig in Ireland reported this AM broadcaster on 7110 from 1801 until it went off at 1804. That forwarded by Harold Kuhl to the British DX Club. Torsten Holland in Germany tells us, on September 7th, I clearly understood an ID for Ethiopia Broadcasting Corporation, with an 8 local language broadcast at 1718. And a few minutes before, there was a short switch to a kind of white noise, like often used against Eritrean transmitters. Dr. Hans-Jörg Wiener in Germany, also listening on September 7th, 7110 from 1730. An unknown language, music elements pointing to the Horn of Africa, with ham interference until it went off at 1800. He noted that Voice of the Broad Masses of Eritrea was running on 7140, but not their other frequency, 7180, spurring speculation that might be it, moved to 7110. It was also pointed out that Warsan Radio in Somalia had used 7110 in the past, but it's currently active on 7750. According to Bruce Churchill, on Hardcore DX, Barry Bankston in Tennessee monitored 7110 at 0412 UT, Horn of Africa-type programming. He wonders if it could have been Eritrea down from 7140. On September 9th, Wolfgang Büschel says, VOBME 7140 started at 0359, while the 7110 station started at 0402. Radio France International boldly registered an 11-meter band frequency starting September 5th, 25800 for their Swahili hour at 15 UT. So I checked for it on September 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and they were still on 21690 instead. But if they do dare to go up to 11 meters, they're all set. You may have heard the news, as did Joe in Buffalo, that there was a coup in Guinea-Conakry on September 5th, so that sends us to their only shortwave frequency, 9650, which unfortunately has been inactive or irregular for quite some time. I would not expect it back, and so far I have not heard it. But keep in mind, 9650 for Guinea. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight says NHK World Radio Japan has changed frequency for its Japanese broadcast to the Middle East and North Africa via Germany at 17 to 19 UT. 9780 replaces 13690, and he says reception is much better for him. They start with 5 minutes of news and then a program of music, the content varying from day to day, mostly Western popular songs or Japanese music from yesteryear to the present. On September 5th, it started with music by Bruce Springsteen, well worth a listen. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard tries to monitor the low-power Japanese propagation research transmitter, JG2XA, on 5006 and 8006, but not heard on either frequency as of September 4th, so he contacted the station and got this explanation. The power was originally 200 watts, but now it's only 60 watts. But when he tried, they were off the air due to a planned power outage resuming on September 6th at 0630. Ron Howard has more exotica from Japan, actually Okinawa, on 8785 USB, Itoman Marine Radio. Heard September 6th at 10:03, with a good signal and heard just about every day in Japanese. Presumably haul information of each Okinawan fishery ship. Takahito Akabayashi publicized this first. The call sign is JFE. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz. World of Radio 2103, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. No new thanks to acknowledge this week. Contributions may be sent via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, or not necessarily in U.S. funds via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. A tip for rational living, check out michaelmoore.com and look for his essay entitled Bin Laden One, really some food for thought. The British DX Club, Frank Bast in France, reports monitoring via a remote in South Korea, North Korean transmitters, the one on 3919.3, is back on the air from Hyesan, parallel to all of these. 2349.4, Saribon, 3219.8, Hamhung, 3250, Pyongyang, and 3959, Kangye, checked at 1420 UT. As of Monday, September 6th, Ron Howard says neither of the clandestines from South to North Korea changed frequencies, as at least one of them would do almost every week. So, Echo of Hope or VOH, 3980, 4885, 5990, 6250, 6348, and 9100, checked at 1012. While Voice of the People was on 3480, 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520, and 6600, checked at 1015. On September 7th, he was surprised to hear live sports coverage via this clandestine Echo of Hope on 9100 after 1105 UT, presumably the football match of South Korea versus Lebanon, qualifying for the World Cup. Here's another clandestine for North Korea, but transmitted from Taiwan, National Unity Radio, on 9475 between 1200 and 1458. Ron recommends checking out the brief Chinese language lessons on weekdays about 1245 and 1445 UT. I've also been hearing it before 15 UT as long as WTWW is not active on 9475, which is usually the case except on Sundays. British DX Club, Roman Pankov in Bulgaria, reports on August 23rd that Radio Skopje in Macedonia North on medium wave 810 has been off the air since the 14th of August. You may recall that this was originally a 1 megawatt transmitter or even more. Not so much lately. Georgi Bansov in Bulgaria explains a substation of the Ovtsepole transmitter site was damaged in wildfires in August, so unknown when they will repair or replace the substation. Via shortwave bulletin, Victor Gunatilika in Sri Lanka reports hearing on 1575 kHz after VOA Thailand signed off at 18 UT, he heard a faint BBC World Service signal, which must have been coming from the 2 kilowatt transmitter on Mauritius across the Indian Ocean. North American pirate Mix Radio International EQSL'd my report about them on last week's World of Radio when they were playing classical music. They say it was amazing how many liked the classical music mix. We will do it again. In fact, I've already been working on putting another one together for Thursday, Friday, or Saturday evening, September 9th, 10th, or 11th, around 22 UT, if propagation is good and band noise is low, and try to use the 43-meter band. The Antichrist pirate station YHWH has been showing up in the mornings on the 31-meter band. Rick Barton in Arizona caught him on 9630 before, and now on two other frequencies, September 5th on 9700 from 1703 past 1750, and on 9720 September 7th from 1440 until 1630. Walt Salmoniv in B.C., Eric Fetterswalp in Washington State, and I also heard the 9720 broadcast. In the British DS Club, Luis Carvalho reports that RTP Portugal has reactivated its Antenna 1 transmitter on 756 kHz. Good news for medium wave in Portugal, but it's only 2 kilowatts. Bruce Churchill and Dan Robinson note that a remote in New South Wales, Australia, is getting amazing reception from the reported 100-watt transmitter of Warsan Radio in Baidoa, Somalia, heard at 1510 UT in parallel with their web stream. That's on 7750. Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, driving home the afternoon of Saturday, September 4th, I switched to BBC World Service via SiriusXM for the news just after 1830 UT, but heard classical music instead. It turned out to be the Proms on BBC World Service, at least highlights from the UK's greatest classical music festival. John Filiozzi replies, I remember a few years back it became almost a full-time news service, but the World Service has been gradually returning to a more full-service tenor since then. Hope they keep it up. Meanwhile, we have only until October 10th to hear as many of the prom concerts as we can squeeze in on demand from the BBC Sounds website. Or all of them live, of course, on Radio 3, mostly in the local evenings. On WBCQ, September 4th UT, Alan Weiner reported on Worldwide that the $245 plate amplifier replacement tube from France had arrived, and Continental would be coming the following week to test it before installing in the Superstition. The crate alone must have cost over $1. Since at least September 7th, I've noticed 9330 has been missing. I guess they're working on bringing it back. WBOB 600 in Jacksonville, Florida, ran a last-minute DX test, UT Saturday, September 4th, from 0400 past 06 UT, as they were also doing some maintenance, running their day power of 50 kilowatts and day pattern, and it was widely heard across North America. Many of us had already heard them on a previous DX test in January 2016. From the September issue of CIDX Messenger, we're reminded of the 100th anniversary of WBZ 1030 in Boston. That's September 19th, 2021. Back on June 11th, they began a 100-day countdown to a century of serving New England, currently offering an all-news format. It's Class A, 50 kilowatts, of course, but directional westward, since why waste any watts into the ocean? However, I must say it's very seldom audible as far as Oklahoma, 1,500 miles away. A story in Radio and Television Business Report quotes Alan Chartrand, market president of iHeartMedia Boston, "For a station to broadcast for 100 years is nothing short of amazing." Nevertheless, I know that some astute DXers in the Boston area are able to phase it out and DX even South American stations on the same frequency. The story mentions that there's also a station in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, on 1030. ARRL via Southgate also says two local radio clubs will be commemorating the anniversary with a special operating event, starting at 13 Zulu, September 17th, and ending at 04 Zulu, September 20th. Something very strange brought up by our New World of Radio IO Group member, Steve Yates, AA5TB in Fort Worth, Texas. It's about what he calls the beacon of hate. Over 21 years ago, I started receiving a mysterious CW beacon in slow Morse on about 10,106.4 kilohertz. There's even been at least one YouTube video someone created describing its weirdness using my reports. It's been over 20 years since I had last heard it, but now I'm hearing it again, as of September 4th. This was at 0207 UT on exactly 10,106.36. I didn't hear it again for over 9 hours, perhaps due to propagation, but it was being heard again at 11:30. I had to decode the message in Morse code, but it was very fractured, but it was seemingly referencing Revelation 13, verse 13. He already has a website about this with some recordings and more information. I suggest you read all about it at aa5tb.com/sig09.html. Says I will start using worldwide SDRs that were not available 20 years ago to try and narrow down the location of the beacon. I would love for other listeners to try to hear it. You may have to set up and record for hours in order to detect it. The Audacity program is perfect for this application. I'm again hearing it at 1618 UT here in Texas. It's always very, very weak, and I often have to use a lot of filtering to pull out the information. Then Steve Yates reports it again, very strong on the Northern Utah remote SDR. The complete message read with some misspellings, "False God of Israel, World's Biggest Liar. Log on Rev 1312, Simp." That apparently refers to a simplified Bible translation. You can look it up if you like to see what those two verses say and how they might be applicable. Many more hateful messages from this he has displayed on his website. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener forwards a link to a very extensive and interesting report from BBC News about the so-called Havana Syndrome and the mystery of the microwaves, that being one explanation for this strange illness which has affected U.S. personnel in Havana and now other capitals. It's at bbc.com/news/world-583-96698. You can probably find it by just searching on Havana Syndrome. Well, I do have some time to quote part of it. It begins, "Doctors, scientists, intelligence agents, and government officials have all been trying to find out what causes Havana Syndrome, a mysterious illness that has struck American diplomats and spies. Some call it an act of war, others wonder if it is some new and secret form of surveillance, and some believe it could even be all in the mind. So who or what is responsible? It often started with a sound, one that people struggle to describe. Buzzing, grinding metal, piercing squeals was the best they could manage. One woman described a low hum and intense pressure in her skull. Another felt a pulse of pain. Those who did not hear a sound felt heat or pressure, but for those who heard the sound, covering their ears made no difference. Some of the people who experienced the syndrome were left with dizziness and fatigue for months. Havana Syndrome first emerged in Cuba in 2016. The first cases were CIA officers, which meant they were kept secret. But eventually word got out and anxiety spread. 26 personnel and family members would report a wide variety of symptoms. There were whispers that some colleagues thought sufferers were crazy, and it was all in the mind. 5 years on, reports now number in the hundreds, and the BBC has been told span every continent, leaving a real impact on the U.S.'s ability to operate overseas. Uncovering the truth has now become a top U.S. national security priority, one that an official has described as the most difficult intelligence challenge they have ever faced. Hard evidence has been elusive, making the syndrome a battleground for competing theories. Some see it as a psychological illness, others a secret weapon, but a growing trail of evidence is focused on microwaves as the most likely culprit. Further down in the story, for nearly a quarter of a century, the 10-story U.S. Embassy in Moscow was bathed by a wide, invisible beam of low-level microwaves. It became known as the Moscow Signal, but for many years most of those working inside knew nothing. The beam came from an antenna on the balcony of a nearby Soviet apartment and hit the upper floors of the embassy, where the ambassador's office and more sensitive work was carried out. It had been first spotted in the 1950s and was later monitored from a room on the 10th floor, but its existence was a secret tightly held from all but a few working inside. The mystery of the Havana Syndrome could be its real power. The ambiguity and fear it spreads act as a multiplier. Some last-minute info via Terry Kogan about Texas radio shortwave relays of European pirates via WRMI, UT Sundays at midnight on 5950. On September 12th, it's Radio Merlin International. On the 19th, Cruisin' Radio from the UK, and on the 26th, Offshore History Radio from the Netherlands. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued September 6th. Geomagnetic field, quiet to unsettled, but a chance for active levels, 21 September and 2 October. ANK indices mostly 5 and 2, occasionally 8 and 3, through October 2nd. Solar flux has actually hit 101, but forecast for a peak of 92 on September 10th, and down to 85 from September 12th to 18th before climbing again. With a standard disclaimer, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2103 and asking, can't we all just get along?